Come on in. Take a seat. Why don't you grab a pen and paper?
Sure.
Okay. And what I'm going to have you do is write a letter to your son that you're going to give to him when he turns 18. I want you to write a letter to your daughter.
Okay.
For when she turns 18.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my son's only 4 years old, so this will be interesting.
Dear Olivia.
Dear Mason.
Come on in. Take a seat. Why don't you grab a pen and paper?
Sure.
Okay. And what I'm going to have you do is write a letter to your son that you're going to give to him when he turns 18. I want you to write a letter to your daughter.
Okay.
For when she turns 18.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my son's only 4 years old, so this will be interesting.
Dear Olivia.
Dear Mason.
You won't read this letter for 6 years, and a lot could change between now and then.
Hopefully, you've learned by now that it's important to put on clothes before you go outside.
Maybe you've learned that vegetables are your friends.
I sincerely hope that all of the dabbing has finally stopped.
And also that it's pronounced mac and cheese, not monkey cheese, mac and cheese.
You dream of becoming a famous singer, so thank you in advance for all the free concert tickets.
Is this still your goal to be a professional YouTuber?
I know you were hoping to become a giraffe when you grew up, but hopefully you have some even better career options now.
It hasn't always been easy. I sat on a piece of gum you left on a chair yesterday and didn't find out until after work.
The dishes really do go in the dishwasher. It's not like a metaphor or something.
Remember when you cut your own hair and then you tried to fix it?
Basically, I didn't sleep for 3 years straight.
But I can tell you this. Despite all the struggles, all the tears, it was completely worth it. And I would do it again, 100 times over, for you.
You are a gift and a blessing. You've changed my life.
You are beautiful and strong.
You have so much energy in life, and I can already see how incredibly smart and fearless you are.
More than anything, I want you to know that I love you.
I'm here for you. Whatever you need.
You have made me so proud.
And I am excited to see how God uses your life.
You're ready to take on the world. With all my heart.
Love always. Dad.
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 So happy Father's Day to all you fathers who are with us today. And if you're joining us online, happy Father's Day to you as well. And because it is Father's Day, today's a little bit different. Actually, it's two special things that we're doing combining today. We're combining our Father's Day service with our Compassion Sunday. You know, in the Western world, honestly, one of the things that we've done is we've lessened the crucial role that the fathers play in a home. And we do that to our own detriment and to our own family's detriment as well. Now, if this is your first time with us and you are not a believer, or maybe you just don't know where you stand, you're searching, or maybe you know you just kind of come in out of curiosity, maybe you're here because somebody bribed you and you know promised you lunch afterwards if you would come. Whatever reason that you're here for us, or whether you're joining us on Facebook, we're glad that you're here and that you're with us. And you're going to get to see a little bit about what we believe as Christians, and hopefully by the end of the service, you're going to make an important decision to make a difference in a child's life. Now, Again, if you're on Facebook with us, you can play with this too, because you can go to www.compassion.com/child/sponsorship, and yes, that's all one line, and get information on this if you decide that you would like to get involved as well. Now, just for the what it's worth department, we believe that the Bible is more than just another religious book. We believe it's divinely inspired. And the reason we believe that it's divinely inspired is because of the internal evidence. The Bible makes some claims about itself that no other literature claims, either ancient or modern. Even some of the religious leaders, you know, they're talking about they're speaking for God. This book claims that it's speaking from God, that it's His words for it. So it's unique in that sense on the internal evidence. It's also unique on some external evidence that we have as well. Did you know that this book was written by over 40 authors over a period of about 1,500 years, and it doesn't contradict itself, not in one place? They're all writing basically about the same thing, and it's a unified book, and that's phenomenal. You know, someone was asked once about the famous books of the Western. If you went to these people and you just gave them one topic and asked them to write on it, he said, how much agreement would you get between the authors? And he said, none. And yet the Bible has very difficult subjects to take care of, and it's all in agreement. It's because it's all His story, Jesus' story. It all points to Him and reveals Him to us. Now, you may question that, you may doubt that, but let me just challenge you. If you don't know where you really stand with this book, just read the book itself. Don't read somebody's opinion about the book. Don't listen to somebody's opinion about it. Take some time to read it and make up your own mind. One of the human authors of this book is a guy by the name of King David. Now, everybody knows King David because we're all aware of his epic fail with Bathsheba. So everybody knows about King David. And King David wrote this. I love this. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. And then he says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God sets the lonely in families. Now, did you know that there are over 2.2 billion children in the world today? 2.2 billion children. 1 billion of those 2.2 billion lives in poverty. That is almost every other child. Now, according to UNICEF, that's the United Nations Children's Fund, was formerly known as the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, which is what the name UNICEF comes from. According to UNICEF, 22,000 children die every day due to poverty. 22,000 children die every day due to poverty. And they die quietly, some in the poorest villages on earth, far removed from the scrutiny and the conscience of the world. Being meek and weak makes these children invisible in death. Now, a few years ago, you know this, Prince died. When Prince died, one man dies and a million cry. One man dies, millions cry. Millions die, no one cries. Poverty is a ruthless and relentless enemy. With an arsenal of weapons, hunger, infant mortality, disease, illiteracy, child labor, and that list goes on and on and on. Children living in poverty are invisible to the world, hidden amongst brokenness and despair. You can help. You can help. I want you to take a minute. I want you to watch this video. This is the one we started with. We want you to watch this video. Why don't we look at, well, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name. I messed it up this morning. So watch this video.
My name is Ablavi. I am 12 years old and I am in the fourth grade. Some of the challenges that the kids in our community are facing are no different from the ones I faced. No food, no money, no healthcare. Life was so difficult to us. We were suffering. Sometimes we go to bed without food, without eating. It was so difficult for us. But thank God, since I was enrolled in Compassion, they help us. They really help us. So I am so glad today. I'm so grateful of my sponsors, Linda and Doug. When I received the first letter that day, I was so much excited, especially when I saw the picture. And when I got back home, I showed the picture and the letter to Mom, and we were all excited, and we prayed for them. I'm very pleased that I am also enrolled in this program of Compassion. First, we pray. We hear the word of God and then we have lunch. After that, we play games. Also, they pay my school fees for medical checkups and for other needs of my family. My relation with the sponsors encouraged my faith. I trust Jesus that if I pray, especially in difficult situations, if I pray, Jesus could help. After school, I would like to be a doctor to help sick people to get well so they can give thanks to God. The most important change that the sponsorship has brought in my family is hope. Linda and Doug promised to continue praying for me so that I could be released from poverty.
You're invited to sponsor a child today. Join us, share God's love, and help release a child from poverty in Jesus' name. Sponsor a child today.
You know, in ancient times, children and women were considered unimportant. Women, for the most part, were just property, and children were mistreated. In the Roman world, if a child was born, after he was born, or she was born, she was laid at her father's feet. If he picked the child up, it got to live. If he turned and walked away, the child was taken into the town center and left there, left to die. If the child was lucky, maybe someone would come along and pick up that child and take it home, primarily to be a slave, but at least it got to live. More often than not, they simply died there in the town square, exposed to the elements. And again, even if a child was accepted into the home, often they were not given a name until their parents were sure that, well, number one, they were going to live, And number two, they were useful. If they weren't, it was over. When we hear about Roman adoption, you know, we think about adoption in the world today. In Roman, you know, our adoptions, we take a small child, take him into a new family, and he gets a new family. Really a great thing. But that wasn't what Roman adoption was about. Roman adoption was a man taking a grown person into their home, adopting them as their child, their son or their daughter. And they did that for one reason, generally many times one reason only. They were mad at their own kids. And once they adopted a new child into the family, they didn't have to give their own kids any part of the inheritance. They could disown those kids because they weren't important. You know, I find it interesting that in the book of Romans, where it talks about adoption as children of God, do you realize that means, you know, an adopted son could never be disowned? We're never disowned. Ever disowned. But if a father decided for some reason that he didn't like his own children, he could cut them off with no inheritance. And often he did. When Jesus came along, he changed all of that. He changed it. He elevated women to a place of honor. And because of Christianity, the way we treat children has totally changed. And we forget this truth. You know, we live in the Western society, and we just assume certain things are good and natural order of things. That's why we do what we do. That wasn't true. And it still is not true in many parts of the world, because whether we recognize it or not, our Western worldviews were shaped and heavily influenced by a Christian worldview. That's not true around the world. This little girl is an orphan in Belarus. I was at this orphanage. She was abandoned by her parents. They just decided they didn't want her anymore. They just let her go. Thankfully for her, the orphanage found her and gave her a place. Thousands of children to live around the world who have been abandoned by their parents. Young girls, from infants through the teens, are often seen as objects for the sexual pleasures of men. There's a district in one of the cities in India that specializes in child prostitution. The reason they specialize, and when I say specialize, they specialize in child prostitution of children under 1 year of age. And there are men who look forward to it. They drink some tainted wine, get high, and abuse these children. You may recall a few years ago the abduction of a whole bunch of young African girls from their village by the Muslims. They took them away. They impregnated every one of those girls and then sent them home. Now, we're appalled by things like this. But where Jesus is not known, it's a non-issue for these people. Around the world, every 30 seconds, a child becomes a victim of child trafficking. Every 30 seconds. Human rights organizations tell us that there are more slaves in our world today than there's ever been in all of history. We don't think about this. You know, we just kind of always want to look back at history and we don't realize what's going on right under our noses. I don't remember if you remember this young lady. She's now in college here in America, but Malala Yousafzai, shot in the head. She survived, but shot in the head by the Taliban because she was a woman seeking an education. And in Muslim countries, you don't get an education if you're female. Your property. Think about that for just a minute. And I don't say that to disparage Islam's or other religions. I say it simply because it's the facts. That's what they do. And the reason it's the fact is because of this. Sin destroys everything it touches. And the great news is Christ restores everything he touches. He transforms everything, including society. He gives worth to all people. He came, and he still comes for those who need him most. Our text describes it beautifully when it says, a father to the fatherless. That's the nature of the God we claim to serve. A father to the fatherless. And the Apostle Paul, writing on this, to those of us who have acclaimed Jesus as our own personal Savior, and now we're right with the Heavenly Father, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. That should be the norm for everyone who names the name of Christ. It shouldn't be the exception. We should be following his example as children of the Heavenly Father. If we are children of God, what we do, how we live, it should reflect the heart of our Heavenly Father, who's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. This is so odd for David to write this, because that did happen in ancient society. God is concerned for the downtrodden, for the powerless, for the neglected. And because God is, we should be as well. And there's no better way to accomplish this than loving those whom God loves and having compassion on those who need our compassion. Now, this is what I know from my own observations of things and from many years of being in ministry. We are not going to win the world by condemnation. We will impact it by demonstrating compassion. We're not going to win it by condemnation, but I think we can win it with compassion. God's call to us is clear. Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. And you can make a difference. All around the world, children are living in poverty, waiting for their own sponsor. God sets the lonely in family. And he doesn't do that miraculously. He does it very naturally. He does it through people like you and like me. You can end a child's wait if you'll just say, yes, I will sponsor you. You can show the compassion of the father to a child who's in need. For just $38 a month, you can change a child's life, both now and for eternity. But understand something. This isn't a short-term, one-time gift commitment. We're asking you to sponsor a child for many years. And the length of that sponsorship depends on the child's age, their willingness to participate in the program, and their graduation from the program. For some, graduation comes at age 16. For others, they'll be 18 before they're removed from the program. So this is a commitment that you can't take lightly. It would be better for you not to sponsor a child than to sponsor a child and then stop prematurely. Now, your sponsorship is truly personal. You are the only sponsor that child has. And you exchange photos with them, you exchange letters with your child. You help that child feel loved and valued, and you will demonstrate through your gifts and contacts the love of a loving Heavenly Father to this child. Your sponsorship provides your child with education, health care, social skills, food, and that list goes on and on and on. But best of all, the child you support will be connected to a local church in their community and learn about Jesus. So I want you to consider sponsoring a child today. In a little bit, Joey's going to come, Miles going to come, and they're going to sing a song that I asked them to sing, and you can join along. You might recognize the song with the thing. It's called Mighty to Save. And as you sing that, I want you to consider reaching out to these needy children. And the primary response today is not a come forward response. Now, you can come forward if you want. If you want to come forward and kneel and pray about this and think about this between you and the Lord, you come to this side. If you want someone to come and pray with you, you can come to this side. So you can do that. But really, I really don't want you so much coming this way at the end of the service. I want you going that way to the table with all of these children who are looking for sponsorship. And I would love if you would say yes and help them. Now, Myra and I have sponsored three children. One of them has graduated from the program. That was kind of hard for us. She was from South America. We have another little guy, Adit, in the Philippines. And then we have, through another program, not through Compassion, we have a guy that we sponsor in Kenya called Daniel. We got to meet him. That was a wonderful experience. When we first learned about Daniel, our son Colin was on a mission trip. And Daniel just kind of took to him and was with him all the time on a medical mission trip. And one day he called us and he said, Dad, he said, I want you to consider the possibility of sponsoring this young boy. His mom and his dad just left the village and nobody's heard from them in years. And he's there with his grandmother, who now has passed away, and his sister. And then he said, you know, we agreed to sponsor, and he wrote the next day, and he said, Daniel's sick. He came to the program sick today. They couldn't figure out what it was. What they finally figured out was he got to eat for the first time in 3 days, and his stomach couldn't handle it. So he's one of the guys that we sponsor. And the reason I tell you that is because we're not asking you to do something we haven't done. Even our son has sponsored. He started while he was in college sponsoring a child. He's still sponsoring. I think he's sponsoring two children right now. So we're not asking you to do it, you know, just, you know, this is good for you, but it's not good for us. We do it. We do it, and we'll continue to do it. We're asking you to join with us in showing, in a very tangible way, Christ's love to some of the neediest people in our modern world. Jesus said, and if you give even a cup of cold water to one of these least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. You won't lose your investment. You are investing in eternity. Let me see if I can put this in perspective for you. $38 a month, that's how much it is. For $38 a month, you can buy 7.6 cups of Starbucks coffee. $38 a month, you get 7.6 cups of Starbucks. For those of you who are always going to Starbucks, you're spending a whole lot more than $38 a month. You can buy 7 meals at a McDonald's restaurant for $38 a month. You can buy 6 Chick-fil-A meals for $38 a month. Or for $38 a month, you can rescue a child from the life of poverty. The choice is yours. A child is waiting for you. Their pictures are out here on the table as you're leaving today. Won't you consider helping, being his hands and his feet, and getting involved? I hope you will. Joey and Maya are going to come. Somebody may need to go find Joey. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for the abundance that even the poorest among us in this country enjoys. I mean, compared to what I saw in Kenya, there is nothing in this country that even comes close to what we see there. And in Belarus, and in the Philippines, and in other places of Africa, and South America, you can name any one of the continents almost. And it's there, and we can make a difference. Father, I pray that as we wrap up today's message, you'll speak to each heart. Help us to consider, should I do something? Will I do something? And if we're willing to step out in faith and commit $38 a month to sponsor a child, Lord, we ask that you supply that. You tell us you'll supply all of our need. So help us to look to you. Give us wisdom to know what to do with what we've heard this morning. And then give us the courage to step out in faith, step out upon the waters that may seem deep, and watch you work. So move as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please.